Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, the hills are alive with the sound of music apps. You knew I was going
to
do that.
I got Maria sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Plus, fine tips, augmented driving. That's good for Sarah. And who wants that 128-gigabyte iPad after all?
All that and the private letters of one of rock and roll's greatest heroes. On iPad, it's not you, on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code iPad. And by the all-new Slingbox, which can turn your mobile device into a television. With the new Slingbox, you can watch high-def TV on your smartphone, laptop, or tablet anywhere there's an internet connection. Check it out at slingbox.com/twit. And by ice.com. Your path to a successful Valentine's Day this year begins with a Twit exclusive offer from ice.com. 25% off your entire purchase, plus free guaranteed delivery. Get your big discount on fine jewelry now through February 12th at ice.com/iPad today.
Hey there, Leo.
Hey
How's
there,
it Thra. Going?
How you doing?
Do you just call me Thra?
Thra.
Thra.
I call Thra. You, and has anybody ever called you this petite Sarah?
Yes. In fact, I'm in a monthly potluck group, and that's my name to those ladies.
It's a little play on words because it's a wine.
And I'm small.
And you're small.
And we like Sarah. Wine. Yeah. And Sarah is like
petite
Sarah.
Petite Sarah. So I didn't invent that.
You didn't invent it, but I think it's very adorable. Petite Syrah is a really good kind of wine.
It is. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Just like you.
You know, it's heavier than an actual regular Syrah, even though it seems like it
should
would
be smaller.
Lighter. Hmm. It's just one of those things. It's a little wine trivia for you.
You know, is this going to be the iPad Today that I've been waiting for all along, that we talk about wine apps?
No, but maybe we could do that tomorrow.
Next week.
Let's
tomorrow.
Do it. I mean, next week. Yeah, you want to come in on your day off?
Sure, why not?
Okay, that'd be awesome.
No, today we're going to do something even more fun, music, which is always one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, we haven't talked about music apps in a while, and there are new ones. There are some old favorites, but I think everything that we're talking about today is new to our show, or at least
I've never seen
pretty
it before.
New.
Yeah.
And I think we should I mean, the reason that I thought that this was very timely is because, of course, anybody who's watching this before Sunday in the U.S., the Grammys.
I could tell you exactly how long before the Grammys are on the air. You know why? I have the Grammy app.
Oh.
It's one day, no hours, 20 minutes. I think that's wrong, actually.
Yeah, because it's
But why does the app say that?
Well, why does it say that?
I don't know. It says till the live stream. So maybe they start the stream 2 or 3 days before the actual show.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But this is the official Grammy app. It is free. And by the way, it's heavily advertising-based.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you can't even get into the app until you close, and it took me a while to figure this out, a big takeover ad on the front page. But once you do, you'll see there's the tweet stream going on, and you might want to have this handy when you're watching the Grammys on
sure.
Sunday, because then that's one of the fun things. It's like the gossiping going on
right.
behind the scenes. You could see the award winners. There's videos. There's photos. You know, I thought there'd be nominees here. Maybe I'm just... Oh, there it is. Writers and nominees. So you can see who the nominees are, not only for the 55th annual Grammy Awards, which are right here, but also going back year by year. The Black Keys, Lonely Boy. Which is your favorite? Kelly Clarkson, Stronger. We Are Young by Fun.
I'm dumb.
Did you like the Super Bowl ad with the Taco Bell one where they sang it in Spanish?
Okay. Sure didn't.
Somebody That I Used to Know, Gotcha?
Gautier. Oh, Leo.
Thinking
you know
about
that
you?
Song by Gotcha?
Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean.
And then Taylor Swift, We Are Never Getting Back Together.
Oh, is that really nominated
it's
for best
nominated
song?
Nominated for best song. Taylor's going to sing on
yeah.
the show. I love her. When she's performs, what I like about Taylor Swift, she can sing.
Like
they don't, a lot of sometimes you get these people on the Grammy Awards.
And they don't sound so good.
They don't sound so good because the auto-tune isn't working.
Right.
So that's part of the fun of watching the Grammys. Anyway, I mean, award shows. It's award season. So.
It is award season. We've got some people who are watching us live in chat going, oh, the Grammys, are you guys even serious?
Sure we are.
I like the Grammys as well. And I think like this, you know, they're a one-note app. You're never going to need it after Sunday.
So let's play Guess the Grammys. So which one of those songs would you say should be Record of the Year?
I think Gautier has a really strong chance.
I think Gotcha
because that was such a big song.
It was a huge hit.
Big song.
So I'm going to check Gautier. The album of the year, Black Keys, Fun, Mumford & Sons. I like Babe. Channel Orange by Frank Ocean or Jack. Oh, Blunderbuss was good, too. Jack White. So you get to, this is a ballot. And you actually submit these.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that's fun. And you can see the Target is heavily advertising on this. There's a little Target logo. And if you accidentally touch that, you're going to be sorry because the whole app goes away.
And then you go to, like, the online Target store?
Yeah.
Their music store anyway.
Yeah. So they're really pushing that. But that's okay. I mean, you got to pay for this somehow. It's free. This is the Grammys. The name of the app is Grammys with an S.
Yes.
And it is free. And it is just came out on the iTunes store.
Yeah, that's good. It's, you know, for a few more days anyway. There's also something that's a couple weeks old, fairly new, though. And that is Rolling Stone's official iPad app.
I didn't know they had one.
Well,
now, is it just the magazine? Is it like a newsstand app or is it more?
I'll show you. It's first of all, it wants to be like the magazine, so it's only going to work in portrait mode. There's Rihanna.
She's crazy in love.
She is in love.
Just
playing
crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She found love in a hopeless place. So if you go
I do
to
like her music.
Ah, she's great. So this is the deal with Rolling Stone, and I can't believe that Rolling Stone, of all magazines, didn't have an iPad app a long time ago just because it's been around so long. But it didn't. You can get either a month month free if you subscribe now to a 1 month free trial, which is just one issue, really. So, you know, think about it that way. But or you can buy one issue for $4.99. So, you know, you really want to want. I went ahead and bought just a single issue.
I think
you
if I were going on a plane, I might do that. And,
yeah.
You know.
If you subscribe for a year, it's $20. So the more that you subscribe, I mean, if you like this sort of thing, if you're a Rolling Stone fan, then, you know, and this is kind of like how to use the app. There's nothing too wild and crazy about this. In fact, I've been reading the Spin app for many, many moons because I like music magazines and Spin has had a great app for a long time. And there's nothing too, I think, unusual about the way that
Is there any multimedia in it? Like if I click Ray Lewis, am I going to see a clip of him or anything?
Well, no, not in this particular article because it's just kind of, it's just.
Boy, that looks just like the magazine, basically.
Yeah. No, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now, there is some multimedia stuff in here. Let's see if I can find it. The thing about Rolling Stone, and I mean, obviously, we're looking at stuff there. You go, well, it's not very music-based, and Rolling Stone is
It's become
kind of
really
like
more of
a
news magazine in some ways.
Yeah.
You know? And some great breaking news. There you go.
Sorry.
There's that happy-go-lucky Rihanna.
Yeah. So you can see, like, you can play a little bit of a track if you're reading about Jim James.
Oh, that's nice. See, a music magazine and the reviews, they should have tracks from the songs.
Exactly.
I would think a record company would love that.
Yeah.
Because I know there's many a time I'll read a review in Rolling Stone and they say, this is a must-have album, great album. I'd like to hear a little bit and maybe even buy it from that review. That, they should make that free and just do that.
Because then it's a great impulse buy.
That's a great impulse.
Because you're like, I like that song. I'm just, you know.
That's often why I buy something.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Bieber softens up his swag. Obviously, if you heard a little Bieber, you'd be ready to buy.
Or gag.
I can't deal with that. Sorry. It's just not my thing.
Nice hair, though.
Sorry, Bieber.
What do they mean when they say softens up his swag?
I don't know what that means, Leo. We are definitely in a different generation than the Biebs. Now, if you're trying to skip around a little bit or you're going back to a particular article and you just want to be able to quickly get there, this is sort of like our table of contents. They've got little thumbnails, so you remember, like, okay, we wanted to go back to the movie review. And so, it looks like.
I like that. Sex, lies, and antidepressants.
Boy, this is just a barrel of laughs, the issue of Rolling Stone. And then, of course, you could actually see the magazine. It kind of as it's intended, right?
I used to love that magazine.
Now, why are you saying
Many
used
moons
to?
Ago. Well, I mean, I was a teenager.
When
I used to love it. Not a teenager. A young adult. But I do love... I agree with you. It's been... kind of took over for it. It was that became the big music magazine. I don't know what people listen to or look at nowadays.
I think Spin, of these two, I prefer Spin. I think
it's more music focused.
it's more music focused, and they also have just a lot more multimedia. I mean, I can sit on the couch with my iPad and my Spin app and be airplane, like music
that's
videos to my TV.
That's what I want.
And that's really fun.
And that's a very good use, a modern use of a music magazine.
Absolutely.
Make it a way to listen to music, to discover music. And I think that's how it should be on an iPad.
Right. And sometimes the Spin, our writers will do little interviews, and yeah, there's a lot more video going on. So I think that that's cool. But if you are a Rolling Stone fan, if you're already a subscriber, I feel like this is just a really good way to be reading the magazine. And if you're not, you can pick and choose. You know, if $20 a year sounds like a good deal to you, that's fine. But you can just buy the issues a la carte as well, which is important.
As you know, I just came back from New Orleans, which is Music City, USA. There are a couple of towns, Boston, New Orleans, maybe Boston and San Francisco, where music really, I would say New Orleans more than any town. And it's so wonderful. And I got back into New Orleans jazz.
Yeah.
We went down Frenchman
Chicago?
Street. Chicago, too.
Chicago's pretty big music.
Big music. Town. Very big
Detroit.
Music. Detroit. Yeah, but not in the streets. And that's what I like about New Orleans.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You're going down and you're going from 6th Street in Austin or Frenchman in New Orleans. You go down and you hear every club along the street. It's got a band, live band playing. You can go in, you can sample the music. It got me back into jazz, and I was glad to find this history of jazz. This is an app for people who are into jazz. Music is your own experience, your thoughts, your wisdom. If you don't live it, it won't come out of your horn. Charlie Parker. Now, you see this little piano key thing is different eras. So it starts 1890 decade up to the current decade. But let's go to 40s. So what we'll see is the jazz trends of the 40s. Bebop, a style of jazz characterized by fast tempo, instrumental virtuosity. Charlie Parker, the king of bebop. We press a button and we can listen to a little Parker, a little bird. Let's play that right here. It looks like it's a YouTube video.
If you haven't heard Charlie Parker sing,
but that's kind of cool, and I can go full screen on this. And as you can see, I don't know if you saw it, I can airplay it to my TV. So this, like the Spin app, you could be browsing through, you could be listening to the music on your stereo system as well as on your iPad. I'm going to skip ahead because I want to hear some music, not some guy. So this is a great, you know, there was a wonderful TV show on jazz done by, you know, the guy who did the Civil War.
Ken Burns. Yeah.
This is not that, but it is, I think, it would be a nice compendium to this because you've got a lot of music. If you wanted to learn about jazz, there's Thelonious Monk, Charlie Christian, Kenny Clarke. You could really learn a lot about jazz from a lot of different eras.
Well, I think jazz, particularly because there's so much history, it really...
It lends
itself
well
to this. It's hard to appreciate it unless you have a lot of this knowledge. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, when someone said jazz, I'd go, ugh, that's that terrible stuff that they play, you know, in the supermarket. You know, like cool jazz. Like, I didn't get it.
Well, but clearly you weren't thinking of Xavier Cugat's...
Clearly I wasn't.
Bombshell from Brooklyn. I love this. There was a period where Cuban jazz was very, very hot.
Oh,
Kuki was one of the heroes of this. This is nice because you're actually seeing him play, unlike the bird video. La Bomba de Brooklyn.
Let's do it.
Let's play it.
You know, I've been practicing on my accent so much that it's becoming perfect.
It's kind of fun to see this old stuff.
Oh, yeah, see, I love this.
This is not supermarket, man.
No way. This is like fun, cool jazz.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So jazz really means a lot of things. But
it does.
But this app really covers it all in many ways. I have to say, this is a lot of fun. It's not cheap. It's $9.99. It's $10. But if you think of it as a book about jazz that has a lot of music in it, you're going to see
it's better than a book.
Much better than a book.
It comes alive.
And you really will learn about a lot of the major trends in jazz. We're now in the 70s with Weather Report and Al Di Meola and the Mahu Vishnu Orchestra and so forth. So that's called The History of Jazz.
The History of Jazz from 955 Dreams.
Yeah, there are a couple of these. There's another Jazz Almanac, too, which I did not look at. But this one I was very impressed by.
Well, you know, the same company, believe it or not, has a free app that I chose... totally unrelated
no
to
kidding.
This. Yeah, Band of the Day.
I remember that.
Now, Band of the Day, I have to say, we have talked about it on iPad Today
a year
in the past.
Or two ago. It was a long time ago.
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been long enough. So it's, you know, there's a possibility that you're newer to the show than a year back where it's just good to revisit because it's a completely free app. So this is not $10 or anything. It's free. And it's great because it's all about discovering bands that are awesome, that have interesting stories, that are talented, and that you probably haven't heard about. I mean, if you're a huge music aficionado, maybe you have. But, I mean, I pay pretty close attention to music.
Yeah, I look to you to find out what's hot.
Well, thank you.
Like, it's pronounced Gautier?
Gautier, yes.
See, I didn't know that.
Gotcha.
I thought, that's gotcha.
That's gotcha.
Gotcha.
Somebody that I used to know, but gotcha. Band of the day is, honestly.
If they had spelled it G-H-A-U-T-I-E-R, I would have said it right.
Right.
They obviously decided, oh, I'll make it easier for Americans. We'll spell it G-O-T-Y-E. Got me.
Yeah. Well.
So Band of the Day is a new band every single day.
It is.
And have they been keeping that up since we showed them a year ago? Like every day, you would have now 365 new bands?
Pretty much.
There are that many bands?
Well, it's...
In
yeah,
the world?
Dude. There are a lot of bands. There really are. And the thing about Band of the Day is... Not only is it like, oh, okay, it's a new artist every day. So, for example, we're on February 7th right now. It's the Mastersons, a married duo bounded by a love of country music and heart-wrenching melodies. Oh, geez.
Aww.
All right, well, fine. So, you know.
I'm not going to listen to that one.
Now,
Airborne Toxic Event. Now, that's a great band.
I have heard
of them.
Have
you really?
It's
a terrible name.
Well, they're, you know, bands are running out of creative names, you know. Now, they have to say things like Gautier and Airborne Toxic Event.
Do they have my favorite artist, $ha?
What?
Dollar sign, huh? Oh, she's great. I love her stuff.
Oh, ha-ha. I see what you did there.
What? Dollar sign, huh?
Uh-huh. Kesha.
What?
Yeah. See?
Gotcha.
Yeah. You got me. So this is... Okay, so just try to pay attention for 2 seconds.
Okay, 2 seconds.
Snowblink. Crystalline indie pop suited for snuggling up in frost-covered cottages. All right, that's cool. So let's say I want to know more about this band.
Now, have you been... Since we showed this a year ago, have you been going every day and listening in?
Not every day.
But you do frequently.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that's part of... If you love music, you're always looking for the next big thing.
Well, and the thing that's interesting about it is that I have not heard of Snowblink, for example, right? So you tap in, you see where they're from, and that's always kind of interesting to me because a lot of these bands, they just
They're all from Minnesota, actually. It's kind of weird.
Well,
are they from Minnesota? Because they all are.
Well, this particular band is
or Canada.
The band started in Toronto.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A lot of Canadians. They're good at the singing, apparently. Being America's hat and all.
I blame Anne Murray and Gordon Lightfoot. I think that's where it began.
Well.
Sundown, you better take
It's fun, though, because I just feel like if you are even mildly interested in a band, so many times they have a bit of a sob story. You know, they, you know, like, worked in these,
right.
You know, horrible... little bars for 14 years trying to get a record deal, and not everybody, but I mean, many of them clearly love music because they love music, and the genres are all over the place. I mean, this is not just like, oh, it's an app for indie bands. They're bands from around the globe, some independent artists, electronica, country.
But it's going to be kind of obscure, right? It's not going to be, you're not going to see big bands in there. It's going to be stuff that you've never heard of.
The idea is discovery.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to turn you on to a band that you may not have heard of, but might be similar to a band that you've liked. So, for example, if I end up really liking Snowblink, Band of the Day can suggest similar bands to me.
Mm.
Yeah, and I can listen to, you know, they're just 30-second samples.
See, I like this. This is Snowblink?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, she has a pretty voice. So you get the idea. So you kind of go like, okay, you could buy the album. You could buy individual songs. If I say I really like this, I basically want to bookmark this app, or this band, rather, I can, chat if you show my screen. I can hit the little heart guy, so now I've saved it.
Now, I guess I could go buy the music.
Mm-hmm.
Does it link into Ardio or Spotify or any of this? Because I don't buy that much anymore.
It doesn't link into to music streaming services.
Only
this
buying.
This is all iTunes stuff.
Yeah.
But you can also see, you know, this is the, we were looking at the calendar view earlier. You can also look and see, you know, what kind of bands are at the, well, the top of the charts or that people have liked. So maybe, you know, I'm paying attention to Snowblink and I'm not paying a whole lot of attention to, you know, the Phil Automatique.
I'm paying attention.
Well, that is a really weird body. I don't know why it looks like that. We could listen to these particular
Fonda. That's a good name for a band.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys have been around for a long time. You could see a little video clip here. I just like this. I think this is definitely for people who are really interested in reading about the musicians. The music is definitely there. I like this. Yeah.
It's poppy.
Yeah, and you got airplay capabilities poppy. As well. Fonda. Yep. Yeah, so this is completely free. Band of the Day. We talked about it last year, and it got into the show again. We did.
May 2012 that we talked about it last.
Really? How do you know that?
Episode 92. I have a photographic memory.
It's chat, isn't it? It's
yes,
chat
it's
room.
Chat.
I'm actually going to talk about one more music app. It's for my app cap, and I'm pretty much saving the best for last, so just don't go anywhere. But in the meantime, if you want links to any of the apps that we mentioned, if you missed anything or you want to revisit anything that we talk about on the show, remember that you can go to twit.tv/IPT. That is where all of our show archives live, all of our videos live, everything is on demand, everything is available to subscribe to so that you can get the show delivered to you. Look at Leo last week. He was so excited. It was before the game.
I thought we were going to win.
I thought we were going to win, too. But let's not dwell on let's think about spring training.
It was an awesome game.
Yeah.
And we got spring training, and then it was great. We got
the Giants won
training
the World Series again.
We can start all over again.
Everybody will be happy. Yeah. The mission will once again be on fire.
The Meadowlands next year.
It's going to be awesome.
The blizzard.
And a quick reminder, if you don't watch us live and you want to.
You do.
You do.
You
Why
really
not?
Do.
1 p.m., 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. Regularly, anyway. And if you have app ideas of your own, you can always shoot them over to us at
iPadToday@twit.tv. Frankly, because then we don't have to work.
Yeah. Help us to not work.
So I didn't bring my iPad. I was going to bring my iPad into the stadium. And then they warned you, all these warnings. Oh, don't bring the iPad. It'll slow down. But I was really hoping, because I wanted to watch Slingbox.
Yeah.
But, you know, my friend from Slingbox, Jay Tannenbaum, was there. And he had his iPad, so I could, watch the replays on the Slingbox. It was pretty cool. Slingbox, you know what Slingbox is?
I know what Slingbox is.
The new Slingbox is here. This is the Slingbox 500. HD. Basically, it puts your home TV setup, everything you got, on the internet where you can log in with a password and see it. On your iPad, your iPhone, your laptop, your Android device. So it's really, really cool. What you do is you get the Slingbox, you plug it into your DVR, your satellite or your cable box, that kind of thing, your DVD, everything that you have on your system. And then you plug it in or you use the Wi-Fi, you connect it to the internet. Now, basically, you can watch your TV anywhere. It is amazing. The quality is incredible. High def, they had Wi-Fi at the Superdome. They really wanted to make sure it worked for everybody. And I think it was because people wanted to bring their Sling boxes and watch the game on their phone.
Was it nice and fast in there?
It was really fast.
Wow.
It worked really, really well. If you want to know more, you can go to slingbox.com/twit. It's great for any event, big games, of course. But anytime, you don't want to miss your show, you can control your DVR. So if you forget to record something, you just go to your Slingbox, fire it up. You even get the remote control that matches your cable or satellite box. So you get a Dish remote control if you've got a Dish, a DirecTV if you've got a DirecTV. That is very cool. And no additional cost because you're already paying for HBO and all that stuff at home. Why should you pay for it on the road? It's very easy to use. You get everything local that you would get even if you were at home, even if you weren't on the road. They've got the Slingbox 350 and the brand new Slingbox 500, which has HDMI, built-in Wi-Fi, and HD. It is super sweet, and I want you to try it. Go to slingbox.com/twit, or you can go to Amazon, Best Buy, or Fry's and pick it up for yourself. Just buy it. Just get it. Slingbox.
I'm sad that you didn't actually bring your iPad in. You were scared.
I got scared off.
Yeah.
And then when we got there.
Did they
there,
say don't do that because they thought that there'd be theft? Or
No. They said you can bring a computer or an iPad. We don't recommend it because we're going to have to really scrutinize it. And it's going to take you a long time to get through security. And that was not true.
Right. Well, maybe security, it's not true because a lot of people left them behind.
Maybe. Security was very easy. They quick pat down. It was very much like going to a Niners game. Quick pat down and then threw a metal detector.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if you had a package, they looked at it. But they didn't pay any attention to any of my devices. In fact, they were talking about the fact that they had Wi-Fi in the stadium, and they had this very sophisticated setup. When you entered the perimeter of the Wi-Fi, it would look at your device, identify it, and decide whether it was a rogue device or a legitimate device like an iPad. And if it was, it would register your MAC address, and then you'd be on. And I even called Twit and from my iPhone and Skyped, and it was really cool. So I kind of wish I'd brought my iPad. It would have been nice to have that with the NFL app and all of that.
Well, you know, it's not every day that you go to the Super Bowl. So
I would,
when
you know
the
what
Niners
I brought?
Start again next season, you got your sling box.
I was glad to have. I brought my binoculars. So that when Paul McCartney was sitting right there, I could just stare at him like that.
Yeah.
Did you know I was sitting next to Paul
McCartney?
Yes,
because you kept tweeting about it.
I couldn't stop. Jesse Jackson was right there, and Paul McCartney's like 10, 15 feet away.
Well.
Mr. Sir Paul McCartney.
Sir. Right.
I should have invited him to be on the show.
You should have. He could have talked about music apps.
He was very jolly.
Well, that's a...
I'm sorry.
That's
I bungled
a misstep.
It. I fumbled
yeah.
it. I
you fumbled it.
Fumbled the
yeah.
ball.
It was a. It was an interception of...
Don't say that, please.
What?
Don't use that word. Interception.
Why?
It's a little sensitive.
Sorry. I know. Not
it good. It was so much fun. I did record Beyonce with my iPhone. But I'm, you know, pretty far away. She was just a little dot down there.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't. I am so musically unsophisticated that when Beyonce's singing and the two women pop out of the trapdoors in the puff of smoke, I thought, oh, that's nice. More dancers. I had no idea.
Well,
that was Destiny's Child, and this was like a reunion.
Well, okay. I, you know, I'm not even going to say anything because I don't want to hear all the Beyonce fans telling me what a hater I am. That's all I'm just not going to say.
She gave a great show.
I'm sure
But there was a
great.
Lot of flame, and some of the people thought that the blackout was because there was so much flame, it overtaxed the air conditioning, and it threw a circuit breaker in the stadium.
Well, something happened.
Big fire.
Something happened. Hey, so, Leo, did you know that, well, according to Canalys, which is a research agency, in Q4, in the fourth quarter of 2012, one in six PCs that shipped was an iPad?
One in six PCs that shipped. So they but see, I don't call the iPad a PC.
All
do
right,
you?
So here's where we're going to get back into this. Yeah, so I was wondering if you were going to catch that.
Yeah.
They consider the iPad a PC.
Well, if you lump them all in together, then that kind of makes sense.
They say one in every three PCs is a tablet.
Right.
And so by that logic, one of about 50% of those is an iPad, so
see,
one
I think
in six is an iPad.
I think that's a meaningless statistic because you're combining two different devices and saying, well, that's the same thing. And I don't think an iPad is the same as a PC. I don't even think that they're mutually exclusive. I don't think they're used for the same purposes. It's like saying your iPhone is a PC.
Well,
one's an inexpensive consumer device.
Is,
one is a...
Though. We were having
well,
this
it's
discussion...
Well, it's a computer.
Yes.
But I don't
right.
think for purposes of counting, it's good to mix them together. It's like saying, well, your watch and your phone both tell time. Did you know that iPhones are now outselling watches 2-to-1? Well, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's kind of a good
It's
point.
A little bit of combining two different categories. It's not meaningful.
But the thing is that, you know, we're not comparing the decline of watch sales to the rise in iPhones. But what we do talk about a lot is the decline in PC sales. You know, PC sales are falling. All these companies are in trouble.
Well, that's relevant. If you say PC sales are down, which they are,
right,
like 20%, then that's relevant.
Well, Canalys is like, you know, honestly, PC sales are not really down.
It could
it's
be
that people are changing.
Well, that's the
kind
the question.
Of device that they're using.
The implication
to do this stuff.
Is, and I think it's a false causality. The implication is that the reason iPad sales are up is because PC sales are down. They may not be related.
You don't think so? You think that?
Well, they could be, but they may not be. It may be a false correlation. I mean,
I think.
Do you think people are?
I think
here's the
rise
question.
In tablet sales and the
people are buying tablets
sales are absolutely directly related.
Are people buying tablets instead of PCs?
I think they are because
then if that's
nobody
the case,
has you know unlimited funds.
You get a PC for the same cost as an iPad. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not about money.
Well, depends on what you want, though. You know, I mean, if you're going Apple, you can't.
You can't. But there are plenty of Windows PCs that are under $500.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Or Chrome OS.
Right.
I don't know. What does the chat room think? Do you find yourself choosing between a PC? This is the question. Do people choose, you know, I have $500 in my hand. Am I going to buy a PC or am I going to buy a tablet? Do they make that choice is the question. And then say, no, you know what? I'm not going to buy a PC. I am going to buy a tablet. I don't think you can do everything that you can do with a laptop that you could do with an iPad.
Well, you definitely can't. But then again, there are iPad apps that allow us to do things that we've never been able to imagine on a computer at all. So it's not so much that it, to me, it's not so much that it's iPad is more limited than a PC, therefore it isn't a PC. It's just different.
Well, and I'm not arguing the semantics of whether it's a PC or not. I'm really saying, is this a valuable or interesting statistic? It may be that completely independent numbers, that the PC sales are down because people don't need a new PC or they don't want to buy Windows 8 or whatever.
Right.
And or maybe they're too expensive. That's possible. And that tablet sales are up just because tablet sales are up because people like iPads.
Yeah.
That's a different product to me, but they like iPads. And I don't think they're necessarily related is all I'm saying. And when you say a stat like that, it implies the one because of the other. And I don't think that's true.
Well, fine.
So there.
Yeah. There you
that's
go.
That's my logic.
Screw you, Canalis.
Well, I think this is one of those things where if you just read the headline, it goes, ooh. But then if you think about it a little bit, it's
Well, what's interesting, too, is that these research, there's no standard. They don't have to count a tablet as a PC or vice versa.
Truthfully, in fact, there's Microsoft calls the Surface a PC, which is a tablet, the Surface RT.
Well, I think it's probably closer to a PC than any other tablet out there.
More so than an iPad.
Right now, because it can run, you know, legacy Windows programs.
And no. The Surface RT, which is not,
the Surface
cannot,
RT.
They call that a PC as well. So Microsoft is using that terminology.
It's more of a hybrid. It's a lot of this is marketing as well. For what it's worth, there are other research firms that don't call tablets PCs. They break out those numbers.
I think when you do that, you're kind of diminishing the real importance of tablets in general and iPads specifically, which is it's a new way of thinking about computing that people far prefer. It's simpler, it's easier, they don't crash, they don't have any of the problems or complexity of a real computer, and they prefer it.
Yeah.
I don't think that they buy, you know, if you need a PC, you need a PC. If you're doing Photoshop, you're not going to do it on an iPad. If you need a PC, you're going to get a PC, but people in general do like tablets better. So that just contradicts everything I just said.
I sure like mine. There's something that I have to say, it's almost like it's like the bed test. This is totally G-rated. When I'm, you know, kind of like I'm done for the night, I just want to kind of get in bed, have a little light on.
You don't bring your laptop with you anymore.
No, and in fact, like I don't really using my laptop in bed makes me feel weird. Like, I'm like, I brought my office to bed with me.
Yeah,
I'm
with you. I used to bring it. In fact, one of the reasons I liked the MacBook Air is because it was light enough to bring to bed.
It was light. But there's still a little something about it that doesn't feel right to me. The iPad, I mean, I sleep with this thing. It sleeps on the pillow next to me.
That is G-rated. That's kind of pathetic.
Well, it's pathetic, but it's true. And I can't be the only one. Right?
You're like Mary Tyler Moore when you do that. So, but notice this keyboard that I have, the Logitech Ultra Thin iPad keyboard, turns it kind of into a laptop-y thing, but I would never bring this to bed with me. What, if I were going to get in bed,
yeah, you just hold
it. I would take the tablet.
Right.
You don't want a keyboard in bed.
Right.
Doesn't work.
It's interesting. It's interesting habits. And obviously, everybody's got different habits. And by the way, if you bring a huge laptop to bed with you, that doesn't make you a weird person. It just,
it would if you put it on the pillow next to you.
With a little stuffed animal, kind of like holding it.
Oh, I'm so sad. You make me so sad.
What? No, I'm not sad. Listen, I have a teddy bear, okay?
You know, she can turn the world on with a smile. She can take a rotten day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
Only a few people are going to get that because, again, you're going back too far.
It's you, girl. And you know it.
See, I don't even know. I know what you're doing, but I don't actually know that song because I wasn't alive when that
you was. Weren't? Wait a minute. You weren't alive when Mary Tyler Moore was on the TV?
Well, I don't know. What years
Good
were those?
Lord.
Mid-70s?
I don't know.
Because that's when I came around.
Doesn't she remind you of Mary Tyler Moore, though? Old folks, people who are old enough to remember Mary Tyler Moore?
I don't know if I like that.
You're spunky.
Thanks.
I don't like spunk.
Well, I don't like you, all right?
That's not your answer.
And you know who doesn't?
You're supposed
either?
To go, wah!
You know who also doesn't? Is
what?
Talman. He wrote in, Leo, you can actually stop using Vine in the middle of a recording to do something else.
You just home button it and then come back to it?
Yeah. It's just multitasking like anything else. Without losing your Vine project, when you return back to the app, the portion you've recorded is still waiting there for you to complete. I actually tried this out earlier. It's totally true. I never actually tried to before, which is
so when
silly.
Nick Bilton, for instance, makes his very elaborate vines where he's popping corn, he could be using his phone and other things and just coming back to Vine for the second frame and third
totally
frame.
Yeah, I mean I made a
I didn't
little
realize
vine.
That okay, that's good to know.
A really really dumb one a little bit earlier. Profile, yeah. It was during Windows Weekly, and between each of these shots, I, you know,
did something else.
Read some email and surfed Safari, and
that's cool.
Yeah, it turned out exactly.
So, do you still like Vine? Is Vine still as exciting as it was a week ago?
No.
Well, isn't it interesting how quickly these things come and go? No, it's just very quick.
The thing about and we got quite a bit of feedback from people. Sometimes people get a little bent out of shape because they like a social network, and so you and I go, it's kind of
it's over,
messy,
it's done.
And, yeah, and they go, why are you saying that about the app that I like?
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Vine. For me personally, I have not been compelled to take a lot of Vine videos over the last week.
I liked it at first. I was very excited by it.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
It took too much effort, frankly.
I think the citizen journalism aspect of it couldn't be interesting
could be.
Going forward.
6 seconds.
Yeah.
It's kind of short.
Well, and I'm following, a handful of people that I know on Vine, and it's like, I see their usage dwindling, too. And that's just, this happens with networks all the time.
They finally reached an agreement with Apple, because there was some question. Vine was initially, for some reason, making editors' choices out of pornographic clips.
I think it was just the one, but it did make editors' pick, and a lot of people
One's
saw
enough.
It. Yes, yes.
And Apple immediately took their selection. They made it their editors' pick. They took that back.
Yeah.
And then I think there was a little back and forth. And now Vine, you might notice when you install it, says 17 and up. It has that little warning that a lot anything that accesses the web will have. And that, by the way, I think is a smart way for Apple to do it. At first, I was a little concerned about censorship. We talked about this with 500px. What Apple's doing is saying, look, developers, flip that switch that says it's 17 and up. That way we can put it in our parental controls. We can control it if kids could see it. And then you don't have to censor yourself, application. You don't have to eliminate all the pornographic vines if you don't want to. But you just have to let people know that it's 17 and up. And I think that was
Tumblr
a good compromise.
Has also been required to do that.
Tumblr can be very graphic.
And the thing is, the argument is people say, well, so can Twitter. If you search for certain things, you just click through a link. And that's totally true. And Apple is getting into a very weird gray area. Well, Apple sort of always has been. But because Tumblr, we sort of go, oh, yeah, there are a lot of Tumblr blogs that are dedicated to nudity and stuff like that. And you don't necessarily equate that with Twitter the same way because there's just less emphasis on photography. But Twitter would like there to be more emphasis on photography.
Right.
They have freaking photo filters in their iPhone app.
And
now,
as we've mentioned, Safari can go to any of these things.
Any of these. So it's like, it's not really a very good argument.
That's built into the iPad. No, it's just
feel
that
like you're getting
Apple with
out.
Safari and everything else puts it in their parental controls. And a developer who's going to put an application on the store that doesn't have to, but can access more adult material, needs to put that switch in there so that Apple can add it to the parental controls. And I think that's a good way to handle it. So if you're a parent, you've got an iPad, you want to give it to a kid, you turn on the parental control, say nothing 17 and up, and none of that stuff will show up. Those apps will no longer be functional. They can't add those apps. They can't search for that kind of stuff in Safari. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Right.
It just gives parents control. It doesn't give adults who want to access that stuff, you still can use Tumblr and Vine and anything else you want to use.
It doesn't.
I think it's a perfect way to do it. Pulling it off the App Store was my problem, but I understand now why they did that.
Yeah. There may be questionable content. That is just the reality of it. We got some feedback from a few episodes ago. Remember when you showed off Battle Cats?
Yeah.
You were all excited about Battle Cats?
Yeah.
And we both sort of said, I don't know where this came from.
Well, it came from Chad,
but sort of just, is it based off of anything?
Ah.
And somebody wrote us, I don't remember your name, I'm sorry, said I was catching up on the episodes and I saw that you had mentioned Battle Cats and that it wasn't based on anything that you knew of. And I think it's based on an addicting game that's at addictinggames.com. I think it's Nickelodeon related, called Age of War. Says, I used to play this. It might spoil Battle Cats for some, but since Age of War isn't available in iTunes, it may be an okay substitute.
Chad, is that true?
Chad hadn't heard of it. I asked him.
So I hadn't heard of it, but this is the game that
it's similar. There may be a lot of games kind of like this.
Yeah, exactly.
I've played games in this genre, even iPad games in this genre before, where you have an assault and you have to defend against the assault. I think that this is just a genre, not that it's based on this.
Yeah.
But it's very Battle Cat-y.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer the cats.
It's cavemen instead of cats. I like cats better. Cats are cuter. Okay, enough of that.
Yeah. All right.
That's Age of War.
It's at addictinggames.com. And again, it's not actually an iPad app. This is just something that you play through your browser. So, Leo, remember also a few episodes ago when I had this like great idea to do some sort of an iPad focused food thing, and you were like, yes, let's do a food show. It's going to be so awesome.
Dinner in a movie?
Well, that was your idea.
Actually, it wasn't. It's an actual TV show.
But that was your idea.
Of what we should do.
Yeah. But I have, you know,
You're still thinking.
I'm marinating.
I'm ready. Yeah, marinating is a good word for it.
Yeah.
Stewing would be a good word.
Stewing would be a good word. Or, as Jeff has suggested, perhaps a show new to the Twit Network called Appetite Today.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. That's really good.
Or just Appetite.
Or just Appetite. Appetites.
Appetites.
That's so good.
I like it.
Jeff, you're amazing.
Brilliant.
Appetites. So
it'd be bad for be an app show.
Well,
food app.
It doesn't have to be an app show.
No.
But I think that that's a play on words that, you know, it could
like
be something
it. Something
related,
there.
but there's also, you know, internet and tech and that kind of thing.
I got some stuff in New Orleans it's really good. It's like a seasoning salt.
Yeah.
It's called Slap Ya Mama.
Is it really spicy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's good. I like it. In fact, I am now putting on and everything I eat, I slap Ya Mama on it, right on it.
Is it salty?
It's very salty.
So it's
but it
salty
also has
and
cayenne pepper, black pepper, salt. It's good.
Oh, see, that's the sort of thing, like, I would use that
Cajun
as a rub
seasoning.
On fish.
You could rub it on anything.
Oh. Well, maybe there might. Yep. Nope. Nope. Hey, so
next on Appetite.
Appetite.
Slap Ya Mama.
Some's there. We got to figure it out. It's going
to
be good.
We went to a store, New Orleans Cooking School.
Yeah.
And a care package should be arriving next week of stuff.
Oh.
Beignet mix.
Oh, good.
Rubs.
Oh.
I even a package of hurricane mix. We got a ton of stuff to give this the New Orleans feeling here.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
if only we had an oven and other ingredients.
Do you think now, see, we have a microwave in our Twit kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We have a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
We lack a stove and an oven. Do you think we should have a stove and an oven in there?
Well, I think
we have a refrigerator.
We do. You know, toaster oven goes a long way.
Do we not have a toaster oven?
No, we have a toaster.
I'll bring a toaster oven.
But a toaster oven can do more. You know, open face. And that
then
sort
we can
of thing.
Do appetites.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do it in that kitchen. But
do it at your desk over here.
Sure, yeah. Can you?
Apparently, as a Tom no longer come in. You can have the whole space.
Well,
it's all yours.
Oh, that's Tom. Now. Yeah, I could make it my new little kitchen.
That's your office.
That's my office.
The whole thing.
Great. Wonderful. We have an iPad star of the week. This is Lauren's one-year-old Great Dane puppy who loves iPad Today. And I just want to say, not only is...
That's a puppy?
Well, it's a Great Dane.
Holy
so it's
camoli.
It's a very big puppy.
Yes.
I don't know your name, puppy, because Lauren didn't tell me. But I think it is very telling. They say Great Danes are very sweet and sensitive dogs.
Yeah.
And Lauren's puppy is watching last week's episode when we were talking about car safety apps.
Oh.
Because we were talking about my little accident and how we should all be safer. And look at how concerned puppy is.
Well.
Because puppy cares. Leo, don't try to pass this off as just some coincidental photo.
Sometimes pet owners ascribe feelings and emotions to their animals that perhaps aren't actually there. He could be thinking, God, I wish I had a steak right now.
No
he could be.
Way.
Look at that. Isn't that what he...
He's saying, I'm so glad that Sarah's okay.
He's saying, bacon. I want bacon.
Oh, it might be a girl.
She's saying,
there is a flower collar involved. It's probably
like
a little lady.
I like that collar. It's very cute.
Very cute. Please keep sending your animal photos in. One of us appreciates it very much.
I love animals.
Animals. Your dog is even running around here.
My dog is here.
Somewhere.
He's a mammal.
He's a mammal. He's
yes,
a mammal.
He
is he there?
No.
Oh. That's just your mom.
But a little beverage. I'm going to have a little beverage now.
Please do.
Just the thought of Slap Ya Mama and bacon together at last just makes me thirsty.
Okay. Well, because there's too much sodium. That you're taking in. That's what.
This show is brought to you. Should I do that now?
Yeah.
This show.
Yeah.
You see, we have this nonverbal signaling system.
It doesn't work that well, but we have a system. Works about as well as our toaster oven.
She does the Colin Kaepernick kick. And I go, oh, time for a commercial.
Yeah.
We're brought to you today by GoToMeeting from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to get business done even during the winter. You know, Snowpocalypse 2 is coming to the East Coast.
Yeah, I've heard.
2 to 3 foot blizzard.
Whoa.
I'm getting I just got a warning on my iPad. I don't know if you saw it during that last segment.
I did, actually.
That means business comes to a grinding halt, right? Except in many cases, it can't. That's where GoToMeeting is great. You can stay home and meet with clients and colleagues. Flight canceled, no problem. Roads closed, no problem. Even if you're not feeling quite up to it, you can do like IaaS did today on TNT and just use GoToMeeting. They've got HD faces. You could see your crystal clear, shining face. You've got screen sharing so you can work on documents together or make sales presentations. It really is a great way, to, in the winter especially, to get business done when Mother Nature is not cooperating. Just a click and a link, and you're in a meeting with your webcam and everything. In fact, you can even, and I love this, present from the iPad. So, somebody starts a meeting, and you're in the meeting, and say, well, let me show you those figures. You can fire that up on your iPad and share your screen from the iPad. They see you on the iPad camera. It's really great. Don't need a separate phone bridge. It's all built in. Although, I should mention, with the GoToMeeting subscription, you do, in fact, get a telephone phone bridge as well. GoToMeeting.com. Here's a way to try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click that orange Try It Free button there and use the promo code iPad. Snowpocalypse time. Maybe time to get GoToMeeting on your computer today. Remember that promo code IPAD. I think you're going to love it.
You know, that's a very good point. Weather keeps us from our offices sometimes.
Yeah.
Not so much in California.
Well, but
there
see, we
a
do
light
business
drizzle
with,
on the way to work today.
We do business with people on the East Coast, though,
yeah.
And sometimes you still need stuff to go on.
Absolutely.
Know? Bear is in Pennsylvania.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Spiro's up in the Pacific Northwest. He's in Vancouver, BC. We've got people all over the country working with us. So Dan is in Minnesota. It's probably snowing in Minnesota.
Probably.
Yeah.
So we've got some more viewer feedback. We got quite a bit of viewer feedback.
Did we just really blow
week.
It last week? Was that what happened?
No, it's not all bad. It's just everyone's got ideas. You know, I have to say, by the way, to all of you who send in app ideas each week, when we don't use them, don't get discouraged. It's so appreciated. It's just, we only have really just over an hour in the show, so we can't fit everything in there. But I make notes of everything.
She reads
everything.
So thank
you.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely do read everything. Leo reads very little.
Nothing.
But when it's really good, I do forward it to him.
And then I don't
read
it.
Because he has a secret email that he doesn't read. Oh, all right. Well, that didn't work.
I do not. People think I have a secret email. Like, if only they could get that secret address, then I would read their email. No. I don't read anybody's email at any address.
You read my email.
Your email. I use the VIP feature, and you're a VIP.
Well, aren't
Did
you
know that?
Sweet?
Because I only have a handful of VIPs.
Well, you can't have too many, or they're not very important after all.
Right.
That's kind of
how
VIP
works.
That's
a second tier, like semi-important.
Right, yeah.
No, you're a VIP, so I do see your mail because it goes right into a special box. And
well, I'm not like writing you and being like, hey, Leo, what are you doing? I'm writing you about show-related stuff.
I check my VIP inboxes.
I keep the dumb stuff for when we're live on this show.
I check them all the time, and I keep hoping you'll send me an email just saying, hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Want to go out? Hey, Andrew Smith wrote us and said, I know you covered car safety apps last week, but I felt you needed to see this one called Augmented Driving by, I had originally read it as Imagineyes. It's Imagineyes.
Imagineyes.
Imagineyes. That's the name of the company. The app is called Augmented Driving.
Ooh.
He says, after setup, it'll warn you of closing in on another vehicle and of lane drifting. Give it a go.
Wow, that's kind of like the Bliss thing in the Ford.
A little bit.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. First
Does it
of,
work?
First of all, this is an iPhone app. So you can download it.
That makes sense, because you don't want to mount the iPad in your
That room. Would take up a lot of room. Yeah, because you kind of want to mount it under your rear view
mirror. It has to look out the window, obviously.
And so this is an iPhone app, but it certainly works on the iPad. Now, here's a little disclaimer that you'll get every time that you load it up, which is basically saying...
Don't do this.
Yeah. Basically, it's sort of like, it's not designed to replace any onboard safety or assistant systems, blah, 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 blah.
It's really just a game.
It's kind of, it's just fun, it's sort of like...
technology demonstration.
Yeah. Does this work?
Wow.
Now, what's interesting, and then, you know, they got a warning here. They want to be really careful that they don't, you know, upset
people too much.
They
don't want to get
sued. Yeah, exactly.
Now, I can see a problem right now. You're not going 61 miles an hour.
Well, no, I'm going zero.
Oh, well, what's that speeding 61 miles an hour? That's if you were going 61, that would be speeding.
Right, yeah. That's
Oh, it's calibrating right now.
Exactly. Now, I'm not going anywhere, so... And what's kind of weird is, like, my time, there's a little bit of flashing going on here, so I'm not exactly sure...
Wow,
you know,
what is that?
What's going on with that? But if I wanted to... Whoops, I didn't mean to record just then. I want to go into my options... Now, this is a variety of stuff that
oh,
I can...
this is cool.
Yeah, I can kind of
this
set.
This is a HUD like what I was showing last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say, like, lane detection. Do I want just a little sound?
Lane detected.
Or if I want a voice. Right. She kind of sounds like she's, I don't know, Polish or something. Speeding avoidance.
Moving traffic detected.
And so you can set all of these...
this is great.
These sound settings... Yeah,
wow.
And you can read a little bit about how it works. There was a little bit of a tutorial mm-hmm. that I went through when I first loaded up the app, and it's I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to mail my iPad. I haven't actually used this, although Andrew Smith has. So if anybody has used this app or at least something like it, and you've actually mounted it in your car and you found it, you know, maybe it's not really an actual safety feature, but helpful and maybe entertaining. Just to see if it works.
I'll try it on my iPhone and my...
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. That's an interesting idea. It's a heads-up display. Well, actually, it's not a heads-up display. It's augmented reality, so it has a camera and you see through the camera. You wouldn't want to put it in front of you, though. You put it down to the side, probably.
Yeah, well, you're basically supposed to put it in the middle of wherever the car is.
Ah, like right under the rearview mirror.
Yeah,
or maybe even behind
like
the rearview mirror.
Although I did earlier today, I was walking around with my iPad as fast as possible.
Just to see?
Just to see if
did
it was like...
Did you exceed the speed limit?
No, I didn't exceed the speed limit, but I went at one point about 4 miles per hour.
Did you really? So you walked around with it? That's cool.
I was booking around, yeah.
That's really... When were you doing that? I didn't see that.
It was during Windows Weekly. You were busy talking about
You were so busy
Surface
during
Pros.
Windows Weekly.
Uh-huh.
You really weren't paying attention, were you?
What do you mean?
It seems like you were doing a lot of other things.
Like what?
Like preparing for iPad Today.
You mean instead of listening to Windows Weekly, I can do it all. That's the great thing. That's what the iOS has taught me is the art of multitasking.
Vince says we need footage of you running around at 4.1 miles an hour.
I looked pretty stupid. Yeah, I almost ran into someone from Pixel Core at one point. I don't think they thought it was very cool. So this is sort of what you would do in a car. Obviously, iPhone makes way more sense.
Please be careful doing this. This looks so dangerous.
Well, and this is, as you can see, you can tell that that's a person in the passenger seat.
Good, as it should be. Oh yeah, she's on the right. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of fun though. I had not heard of this. It's $299. There is a free version. But it is not fully featured. So if you're interested, and again, if you have experience with it, do let us know. Got a voicemail from Jim. He called in with some thoughts about that 128-gigabyte iPad we talked about last week.
Okay. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Sarah and Leo. This is Jim from Connecticut. Just want to make a comment about the last iPad today, talking who would need it. That is a lot of storage, but I think the key is if Apple gives us more functionality, I guess you call it, with the iPad to use it more like a laptop. For me personally, it is my laptop. I travel with it. I'm lucky enough to be able to do everything I need to on that when I travel. But if Apple gives us more functionality to make it more like a laptop, transfer files, whatever, then 128 gigs would be worth it. But you're right. As of right now, I think 32 or 64 is plenty. Love the show, guys. Bye-bye.
So he's saying if he were able to use it more like a computer, then he could use that extra space. But as it is right now, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, though. Yeah.
But it's not a computer. That's kind of my – I mean, it is technically a computer, but it's not meant to be used like a laptop.
But he says – Jim is saying this is something that I can use exclusively all the time.
But you can't. Yet.
But he says he is.
Yeah, we know plenty of people. Mike Elgin pretty much uses his iPad exclusively. He doesn't use a laptop. There's a lot. People come on Twitter all the time now with keyboards and iPads and not a laptop.
Sure. It totally depends on what you're doing. I do think, though, that it's like as people, some people, the people who figure that not only do they like the iPad, but it can replace their regular computer, they're going to need more and more storage. Well, it also depends on how you use the cloud and all sorts of stuff like that.
You know, it's funny, the big controversy over the new Surface Pro, the Windows tablets that just came out or are about to come out Friday, don't have as much free space as people expected. So if you buy a 64 gig Windows Pro, it's only got, I think,
like 40 or something.
Yeah, less. Yeah, right around, say 40 gigs free. Mm-hmm. About 32 gigs are used. So it's actually even less than 40. It's like 32 free. If you buy the 128 gigabyte, they do have a 128 as well. You've only got like 68 gigs free. So, and people are complaining, saying that's not enough. I need more. But I think Microsoft thought you're going to use SkyDrive, which is their cloud, iCloud, mm-hmm. and you're not going to be storing stuff on the computer. In the same way, it seems to me that really the only reason you'd want a 128 gigabyte iPad is because you were in the airplane or somewhere, and when you wanted to have everything local, all your content local.
Or you've got bloated apps. I don't mean bloated in a bad way, but an app like GarageBand. Like, you can take up a lot of space on GarageBand.
If you start recording a lot.
Yeah, if you want to, or a variety of some of the
video filter
apps that we've talked about.
Yeah, you're right.
And I mean, you can, it just depends on what you're using it for. You know, I think, frankly, Microsoft has a real branding issue because they want people to think of the tablet as a computer alternative.
Right.
But at the same time, if you bought a computer with a certain amount of, you know, storage, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, I thought I was getting this many gigs, and I'm getting, like, people get mad about that sort of thing. So it's like, you can't really have it both ways.
It did seem odd that you would lose 30 or 40 gigs to the operating system and extra stuff.
And of course, it depends just on, you know, focus on what you need to do rather than how many gigs you have out of the gate.
I remember when a 2 gigabyte hard drive was a big deal on a computer.
I remember when I got my first 2 gig hard drive, and it was like,
huge.
What am I going to do with this huge empty land?
They're using almost 40 gigs for the operating system, and it doesn't even come with Office.
Yeah.
It's what are you putting on there? That's 40 gigs. It's huge.
It's huge.
Everything's bloated these days, I guess, and that's maybe why you need a 128 gig iPad.
It's because everybody's eating too much bacon.
Yes, that's probably true.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Roger had another question on the subject of the 128 gigabyte iPad that he wanted to ask us. Roger?
Yeah, this is Roger from Queensbury, New York. I was wondering when Apple is going to release a 4 terabyte iPad. that way I can put all my music on it, and I'll have 112 megabytes left over.
He's got too much music.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I was just wondering if they're... when they're going to release that.
Well, Roger, you've come to the right place. We obviously have the answer.
No.
4 terabytes.
You know,
have you considered iTunes Match?
The thing I really want to point out is that one of the things that Apple, and it may be the reason they did this, Apple gets with a 128 gig iPad is profit. Mm. Because they charge you $100 to go from 64 to 128 gigs for about, I think it was $10 or $15 worth of extra storage that cost to them.
Yeah.
So it's just a bigger profit item.
Right.
So they're just, I think that they think, sure, if we can make that much, but they'd have to, what do you say, 4 terabytes? They'd have to charge you a little bit more.
4 terabytes?
Let me see, wait a minute. Now, it's $100 every time we double.
Okay.
So we're saying $500 for 16, $600 for 32, $700 for 64, $800 for 128, $256 would be $900.
Uh-huh.
512 would be $1,000.
Yeah, we got a ways to go.
A terabyte, I'm sorry, would be $1,100. 2 terabytes, $1,200. 4 terabytes would be $1,400. That's actually not that bad. I'll take two. $1,400. That's
Roger,
what Apple would charge.
Roger, you can have the other one.
And it's a lot of profit in there.
Apple, we know you're listening. And the users have spoken. 4 terabyte iPads. Everything on board. Screw the cloud. Doesn't make no sense.
Put it all on the iPad. Then when you lose it, you can really cry.
Yeah. Brian Duggan made us a very creative video. You'll see what I mean momentarily. And also has a very popular question.
Hi, Hi, Sarah and Leo. This is Brian, coming to you from Haiti. I travel all over this hemisphere, and all I carry with me is my iPad. And I love the idea of Siri, but to be honest, I don't really know how to get the most out of it. So I was wondering if you could do a little segment on some of the best tips and tricks on how to get the most out of Siri. Thanks.
So, Siri. Are you using Siri regularly?
No. I don't even use it on the iPhone.
You don't?
The only thing I use it for is dictation. Mm-hmm. But there are, you know, there are more and more. The most recent update of iOS, well, the second most recent, had a lot more features on Siri. I mean, they're starting to be smart.
What I like about Siri, Brian, is when I am driving or otherwise not able to, like, fiddle around with my phone, I can make an appointment for myself.
Right.
Or I can, you know, call up somebody, you know,
Chevys, there are a couple of Chevy models that have Siri integrated. Mm-hmm. Honda's announced they're going to do that as well. So you're going to see Siri in cars as well.
What I also have been doing lately, and this is, I mean, it makes me seem like I shouldn't have, you know, even passed, you know, basic arithmetic, but I've been shopping for a car.
Yeah.
I know there's all these like, well, if it's a certain year lease and there's this much money, like,
how's it gonna be? You say into Siri, what do you say?
Sometimes I say things like,
what's the annual payment on $53,000? Something like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've stumped her a couple times, but sometimes I'm just like looking to.
Let me try this.
To multiply some stuff, and it's like I could quickly pull up my calculator, but I might as well just ask her. She'll tell me the answer.
I think that's good.
Yeah. It's great for math.
Who won the Super Bowl? See if she knows that.
Baltimore narrowly defeated San Francisco by a score of 34-31 last Sunday.
I hate you, Siri. That's right, but narrowly. I like the narrowly.
Yeah,
nice.
It was a close game.
That was nice.
So
she put that in, and it's got the quarter-by-quarter results. That's pretty good. So you can ask it questions. You should try questions that like that, that could be answered. And a lot of times what Siri will do if she doesn't understand is send you to Wolfram Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And there's a broad variety of things you can ask Wolfram Alpha.
Yes.
Like, let me see if...
In fact, a lot of that, you know, the computational stuff is all run through Wolfram.
How many bushels of corn are consumed each year in the United States? I don't know if she'd know that.
Let me think.
She's thinking.
Would you like me to search the web for how many bushels of
corn
are consumed in the United States?
And what's impressive is she got the question exactly right. The dictation worked perfectly.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I really like about Siri, and it's one of the reasons I do use it for dictation. So she's now searching the web, and she'll just pull up Safari with that as a Google search.
Now, see, you're kind of like, those are very creative.
By the way, 64.3 billion, wait a minute.
Bushels of corn?
I thought I had the answer. It varies from year to year, but the recent averages are 12.5 to 13 billion bushels a year. Now, I don't know why Siri couldn't have found that answer and told me. And I bet you she has the capability. It's just something Apple has not yet really implemented.
Probably.
Yeah,
because she sent you right there. It's obviously she's pulling up the information.
Right.
Brian, I think that, and we don't know exactly what you're traveling for. You said that you were in Haiti and that you travel with your iPad all the time. I mean, it's got to be
What's the weather like in Port-au-Prince?
Looks like nice weather coming up in Port-au-Prince, Haiti through Tuesday. Up to 90 degrees and partly sunny.
That's a very useful thing, I think. Stuff like that. The problem I have is it sometimes takes longer to do that than it would just to tap a couple of buttons. That one's a good one where if you don't have Port-au-Prince entered into your weather app, that's faster.
Right.
Yeah.
I like Siri, but I do find I use it for specific things kind of exclusively. Yeah. It's when I need to be fairly hands-free. Or when I'm crunching numbers and I feel lazy enough to not crunch them in my own brain. So hopefully that at least gets you started, Brian. And if other people have some fun Siri alternatives that we haven't discussed, please do. Write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. That's where you can write us with all of your feedback, your app ideas, your videos, your questions, your comments. Sometimes you're a little angry with us. Sometimes you say that we just go on and on about the stupidest stuff. That's all fine. Don't worry. I'm your punching bag.
Now I'm glad I don't read my email.
Yeah, you don't want anything to do with it. Write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. You could also leave us a voicemail. Got some voicemails this week, so thanks to everybody who called in. 757-504-IPAD is our voicemail number. Or you can send us a video, like Brian did, and ask us anything, or tell us a story, or any of that good stuff. Do you know, you noticed that I wasn't going to say anything, but Brian did the right side up iPhone thing that nobody's supposed to do anymore. You know, where it's cut off on either side. It's like the faux pas of videos.
You mean he shot it in portrait mode?
Right.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I just did. Sorry, Brian. Yeah, I loved your THX.
I thought it worked fine.
I thought it worked just fine. You know what? You want to send us
Vine
a video in upright
makes you
mode?
Do that, by
Go
the way.
Go for it.
Vine does not have
Vine
a
actually
mode.
Is going to get people if they use
Starting
it enough.
To shoot sideways.
And so we should all hate Vine that
right.
much more.
That's
Vine's going to ruin video on the internet as we know it. So thanks for nothing, Twitter.
Let me ask Siri. I gotta ask Siri this. Where can I get some fine jewelry for Sarah this Valentine's Day? Maybe she'll know about ice.com.
I didn't find any events with Sarah for next Thursday.
See, she's not that bright.
No. Well, she doesn't... What are you saying? Fine jewelry.
Fine jewelry at ice.com at 25% off just in time for Valentine's Day. You have a little bit more time. February 12th is a cutoff if you want a guaranteed delivery by February 14th. That's pretty good. Our friends at ICE have put together a special offer for our Twit audience. 25% almost everything at ice.com. By the way, ICE... Look at some of this beautiful jewelry. ICE has a range of items from very affordable to you could get your engagement ring there. They have gorgeous stuff. There's no minimum purchase required, however. You get the shipping free, and it's guaranteed delivery by Valentine's Day if you place your order by February 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You like those earrings? Those are the 1-carat Morganite and Diamond 10 K pink gold earrings. Normally $225. The ICE price for Twit listeners... $186. Nice?
Little diamonds.
Ooh, how do you like that? That's an emerald.
Oh, I love it.
Diamond, 10K white gold ring. It is only, well, normally $295 for our Twit family, $221 after applying the 25% discount. Lots of nice things at ice.com/iPad today. Go there right now to get your 25% off and look at some beautiful jewelry. I know this show, we have probably as many women watching as men. But on many of our other Twitch shows, there's a preponderance of guys who are a little baffled, frankly. The Valentine's Day is coming. And I know, just speaking as a guy.
You mean baffled, like, what do I do? What do I get her? What do women want?
Women,
that sort of thing?
This is a broad generalization, but in general, women know how to buy gifts.
Uh-huh.
And men just, we get there and we freeze. Hmm. Because the one thing you don't want to buy is something where she goes, oh, that's nice. And then puts it in the box and never wears it again.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, that happens to me all the time. So ICE is nice because...
It's sort of a safe bet, the jewelry.
Jewelry is pretty much... And, she can return it and get something else she
sure,
likes. But
yeah.
But jewelry, nobody ever said, oh, you got me an emerald ring. Oh,
you got
you
me
horrible
diamond
person.
Earrings that are classic and will never go out of style.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind that.
Of course not.
ice.com/iPad today. 25% off. But you got to do it, guys, by February 12th, 2 days before Valentine's Day, 1 p.m. Eastern, to get that free shipping and guaranteed delivery and 25% off. Find your stud. That must be for the women. On ice.com.
Thanks, Ice. Hey, so it's time for a little AppCap award time.
I'm ready, Acetylene.
Oh, speaking of diamonds.
That's from Nola.
We're beautiful like diamonds. What is going on?
My ears are too big for the
they're
show.
They're so big.
They're so gigantic. That's Oswald.
Oh, I love it.
Oswald's the new... I didn't know this, but Glenn Rubenstein brought this back from Disneyland, and apparently... Oswald... I didn't know any of this, but he tells me that Oswald was Walt Disney's first creation... Before Mickey Mouse.
No kidding.
They lost the rights to it, and Disney just got the rights back. So now Oswald's the next big thing at Disneyland.
Oh, I love it.
Don't you love those ears?
It's very cute. That's more mousy. Well, bunny, I guess. I love him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the next Star Wars movie.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's weird.
Oswald is a rabbit, the lucky rabbit. And there he is. You see, it says on the front there, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Oh, look. looks just like Mickey, but with the big ears.
So all he did is he put gloves on him and made the ears shorter, and then he had Mickey.
Well, I love it. That's great. So this is my App Cap Award of the week. I mentioned earlier in the show that I had something that was music-related, kind of going to bring it back to our original theme. And I said it was one of, like, rock and roll's greatest heroes. And it is. Particularly, I have a place in my heart for Mr. John Lennon, maybe above all other musicians. Mm-hmm. And this is an app called the John Lennon Letters. And it's so interesting that in a way, I'm almost kind of weirded out reading all of this stuff, because these are private correspondences between John Lennon and a variety of people over his life, from when he was a kid to when he was in the Beatles, you know, sending postcards to Ringo, to when he was going through, funny talker.
Yeah.
To sort of legal letters back and forth to the McCartneys and getting upset about stuff, you know, and Richard Starr. I mean, it's...
Some of this stuff is leaked out. There was a book, and we've heard about some of the things he wrote, but to actually experience this, and this is multimedia too, right?
Yeah, it's really neat. So this is, you can look at the app a variety of different ways. So right now, it's the chronology view. So we've got early years, you know, this is like a postcard that he wrote to an aunt.
Dear Mimi.
You know, and if you're interested in something and you click on it, you get information that he sent this to his dad in September 1967. Wow. And then you can read it full.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. Now, you might be like, well, why would you want to, you know, this is for John Lennon fans, Beatles fans, but particularly John Lennon. I mean, this is not going to be interesting if you're not interested in the guy himself. So you've got chronology, or you can click through by recipients, like from associates, other Beatles.
Wow, look at that.
His family.
Neat.
You know, stuff that he sent to fans. This is stuff that has been collected over the years, to friends, to lovers, that sort of thing. Themes is very interesting, because John Lennon, you know, as everyone knows, that, you know, that Yoko Ono is often blamed for breaking up the Beatles, and there were fights between Paul McCartney and John Lennon of whose name should be first on some of the collaborative songs, and there were legal battles with a variety of people, and he gets really emo about certain things. I mean, he writes these, you know, sort of angry emails to people about this or that, and sometimes it's, you know, about the Beatles collection, and sometimes it's, you know, not even really about any of that. It's kind of insane. And that's why I read this and I think, gosh, am I even supposed to be reading all of this? But it's fascinating.
This was all released by Yoko, probably, I would guess. Yeah.
Yeah, she was the one who signed off on this. And in fact, if you go back to kind of the home area, there's a little foreword by Yoko Ono who's thanking... what's his name? I want to make sure I get his name right. Hunter Davies, for putting this all together. Right. He was sort of the person who, the biographer and the writer, and he helped put this all together. And he actually writes this really interesting introduction to what this is all supposed to be about, and why the letters have all been collected in one place. There is some multimedia. As far as the John's letters themselves, most of it is just really easy to, I don't know, you know, just kind of navigate. God, he's so cute. And
he was always cute.
Yeah, he was adorable.
Was he your favorite Beatle?
He still is.
Yeah.
Well, I did really, I enjoyed the George Harrison two-part biography on HBO so much that I was like,
they were all great.
He was probably the nicest one.
Right.
But John is totally
John was, I always thought the smart people liked John.
Mm.
Because he was kind
of... Well, he had the most
beautiful
voice.
He was challenging.
Yeah, and he was funny.
Well, Paul had a beautiful voice, too, but he was challenging. He was like an intellectual, and so he challenged you a little bit.
So this is... And then there's some, like, kind of cool app exclusives. So these are actually works that... Because the letters have been published previously.
Right.
These are actually things that you never would
only
have seen before.
Only here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So, pretty cool.
I bought it the minute I saw it came out.
Pretty cool stuff.
And do you feel a little voyeuristic reading some of this stuff?
Totally.
It is a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm looking at, you know, especially when you read some of the stuff where he's, you know, upset about something or he's kind of ranting about something.
We kind of want to understand him.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
he wrote a little something to Rolling Stone magazine.
It's pretty cool.
Bring it all back. So this app is $8.99. It's not free. It's, you know, it's $9.
It's a book. Think of it as a book.
This is absolutely something for fans of John Lennon and the Beatles, and a little look into this person's life.
If you're a fan, you gotta get it.
You gotta get it. Yeah, it was very very touching.
My app is very strange. It's a game.
All right.
It is an editor's pick on iTunes. But you might say, well, why would you highlight it? Well, because I want you to see the game and decide if you like it. So I think you can see that it's an editor's pick, but until you actually play it, you may not know what it is. This is, it's in the genre of games where there's no instructions, and you just start playing and you figure it out. It's called Little Inferno, and it may be one of the oddest but most compelling games I've ever seen. They do put a warning: do not play with fire on it, because it is a pyromaniac's dream.
Oh.
If you're a fire starter, this probably would be triggering,
okay,
to say the least.
Well, let's hope most of the people watching this show are not pyromaniacs.
Yes.
That would be good. It brings out
the pyromaniac in you. Let me start a new game just so you see how it gets you oriented, and then I'm going to go into a game I've been playing for a little bit. I just started playing it today, and I'm really quite enjoying it. The idea is you're going to set things on fire. This is the beginning, and this is the whole game playing surface. It's an oven. It says touch and hold anywhere to make a fire, and it's really very realistic. So you'll see my finger is now fire, and so you do this for a while, and then eventually you get to the instructions. You go, oh, I can burn those. So there go the instructions.
What the heck?
Now, I love this. Terms and conditions. Oh, well, we got to read those. Drag me. All right, I'll put them up here. There's a oh, look, this is cool. We can burn the terms and conditions as well. So much for the terms and conditions. Now, this is immediately satisfying.
Yeah.
Oh, and something came out of it, a coin. Ah, well, here's a little bouncing envelope. Let's read this. Congratulations on the legitimate purchase of your brand new Little Inferno Entertainment fireplace. We've lovingly crafted each fireplace to warm your home and your heart. Stay warm in there. We love Miss Nancy. We're going to hear more from Miss Nancy a little bit later on.
This is
very strange. Let me exit out of it and go to a game that I've been playing a little bit, because it's more fun if you get a little farther along. I'm going to go to the main menu here, and you can save up to 3 games. So I started a new one there. This is going to be the game that I saved. So each of these chimneys is a saved game, and I'll go into it. Now, it's not really a puzzle game. It's kind of hard to describe.
Is it like stress relief?
Yeah, because they say there's no time limit, there's no rules. So eventually you get a catalog of things you can buy.
Okay.
This is a fun one. Let's buy some popcorn. And you earn coins as you burn things. Batteries are really fun to burn. And we'll burn one of my a picture from my camera roll. We'll just put that in there. All right, now we're going to go back here. Now, what's great is these boxes, I just put this popcorn here, and I'll set it on, whoops, let's go back. We'll set it on fire, and it pops, which is fun. And these little kernels. Now, every once in a while, a spider will come down. You can burn him, too. And I know you don't like spiders, so I thought that would be a fun part of this game for you.
Burn it.
You can, let's burn some batteries. That's kind of fun. When the batteries burn, they explode. So that's always a treat. Let's get the, oh, look at that. And when they explode, fun things happen. The popcorn popping. And you can also burn, and this is kind of fun, you can burn old pictures of people that you don't like anymore. Just burn them right up. You can actually take pictures out of your camera roll. Here, we'll take some more pictures at him. You know, I'm really sick, for instance, of this picture of me and my girlfriend. It didn't work out between us, so I'm just going to burn that. Oh, notice, by the way, you don't get these right away. So you can have express shipment if you want by spending these little coupons here that you earn over time. Well, there's a spider. Let's burn him. And you see, I gained some coins from popping the corn. All right, watch it. Here's a picture of some kittens. I didn't really want kittens in this game, so
hey.
I'm gonna... Hey! All right.
Oh, my gosh. You love this.
This is such a great game. Now, there's
drunk
also...
Drunk with power.
Yeah, drunk with power. There's also combinations, for instance, and you learn these over time. They don't tell you, I can get a pirate and some bicycle here. Let me get some more popcorn. Oh, I got... see, it's mailbox. Please dispose some of your belongings before ordering more. Sorry, I got too excited. It's got some really great little... sense of humor in here. So let me. There's that picture of me and my girlfriend. I really want to burn that.
Yeah, there you guys. Go. She was
that a. That didn't. Hoe. She was a nasty, nasty person.
Terrible.
Here we go. Here's the pirate. here's the bicycle. Let's put the bicycle in our little oven, set that on fire. Come on.
Oh, it's going to take a while because the tires.
It's some stuff, it's harder to burn. Put the pirate in there, too. Oh, and because that's a combination, I get a little one of those. I don't know what it is. Let's put the battery in here. It'll explode.
You know, this maybe is a good game for pyromaniacs. Just get it out.
Get it out of your system.
And don't actually burn down the neighborhood.
So I've discovered the bike pirate combo, but there are other combos. Now, don't look because it's going to spoil the game for you. I just gave you one for free. You have to learn them over time. But anyway, as you learn the combos, it's kind of fun. You're also, there's another person with another oven who every once in a while sends you messages and says things like, send me something, send me some fireflies or whatever. I don't know what the point of this game is, except that you're burning stuff, and it's fun. This anti-tiki torch is cool. Let me see. I'll burn this spider egg. Now, when this, you burn the spider egg, I'll speed up the delivery because we don't have all the time in the world, so I'll speed up delivery on all of these. There's the express. So we'll put the spider egg. Watch let's go back here. When you burn this... Well, what do you think will happen when I burn a... Oh, my God, there's spiders everywhere. I think part of the goal of this game is to keep these fires going. So it does, if you start to get serious about this, you kind of continue to have to go back here and get more fuel for the fire. You run out of coins. You got to burn more things. There's the child's blocks. I'm going to burn those. We got to keep this fire going. Collect the coins.
Oh, good grief, Leo.
It's not that. I mean, really, there's not that much going on, but it's just... Okay, we'll put the blocks on here. These burn nicely. It's kind of, you know, it's a weird game because you don't really know what the rules are, kind of like hundreds.
But you like it.
But you're kind of having fun burning stuff.
Here's the thing, though.
Is it a little creepy?
Do we think it's worth $5? Because that's how much the app is.
I do.
You like it. Yeah.
And it's a boy thing. I don't think, you know, there aren't very many female pyromaniacs.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that actual?
That's a fact.
That's a stat?
It's a stat. And
you know,
so it may be a boy thing.
I don't really like fire.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of fake fire in an iPad.
Do you want to know what the Freudian theory is on that? I probably shouldn't tell you.
Well, how Freudian is it?
Pretty.
Okay. Maybe we'll save it for the...
After show.
Okay. Yeah.
There is a theory why men tend to be pyromaniacs and not women. Anyway, we're going to set this on fire here. And it shoots coins out the top. It's a little bank. So I don't know. Maybe there's more to this as I play it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, that's it. You got a lot of stuff. You buy more stuff. Burn it.
I think this is a meditative stress relief type of a game.
It's a very interesting
game. In a weird way.
Well, I do like it that you could take pictures from your album and burn them.
Maybe there's... Yeah. Well...
Do you want me? Here,
stop.
No more kitten burning?
No, don't burn any more kittens.
I got lots of great photos I could burn in here. Anyway, it's...
Leo, we've come to the end of our show. It's because you're wearing your Oswald hat. He's drunk with Disney power.
Drunk with Disney power. I don't know. Does Oswald burn things?
Well, he does right now.
It does kind of encourage the pyromaniac.
It's like
how good that flame
is. It's like you're what Oswald grew up to be.
My ears are getting in the fire.
At one point, you were this cute little bunny.
Yeah, and
then... And now you're sort of this...
I'm a fire starter.
You're a pyro rabbit.
It's also fun to burn the... burn the spiders.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition of iPad Today.
Put some more kitties on
one of us is done. We'll be back here next week. Same time, same place. You're going to be here, right? You better be.
I shall be here, darling.
Yay. Until then, thanks for watching, everybody. See you next week on iPad Today.
Da-da. Da-da-da-da-da.